Lynn Mayor Thomas McGee is joining us here. And Mayor McGee from the city of Lynn, thanks so much for joining us.
Glad to be with you this morning, Bill.
Mayor, it's crazy times for sure. And, you know, maybe I'll start off with a little lighthearted thing. I'm sure you're up to speed on how to run a Zoom conference, correct?
I am. I've become quite adept at Zoom conferences and technology that I always I've always been more of a people person, in-person meetings, and so it's a new world for all of us, but a lot happening, and we're able to get things done really well by having those connections through Zoom and technology.
Yeah, so let me actually follow up with you on that. So give me an example of some of the things that that you've been, if you will, Zooming with and, collaborating with around around not just the city, but beyond the city as well.
Well, you know, when you're talking about the Zoom calls, we locally have pretty much gone remote from City Hall. We've done that 2 or 3 weeks ago, but we're on calls numerous times a week with, you know, over 100, 130 town managers, mayors, administrators with, you know, could be with the lieutenant governor, the administration, or on other calls. And it gives us an opportunity to share our concerns, work together, collaborate, and get the information. And typically on some of the Zooms, you'll have health experts that will come on and with the data and the charts and the information that's really necessary for us to making decisions on the local level, recognizing that we're all working towards the same goal, obviously, to limit the spread of the virus and deal with all of the things that are hitting us on the ground every day. So those calls and actually the face-to-face with the Zoom, having a chance to be interacting, not on just the call, but face-to-face with many of my colleagues that are working around the state. And then there's been calls with the two U.S. senators, Senator Markey and Senator Warren. The Bloomberg Foundation has getting mayors from around the country on calls weekly with all kinds of data and information and experts talking about the health and the scientific research that's being done, as well as other kinds of information that's really helpful on the ground. And on three different occasions, the first President Clinton spoke on a Zoom with Mike Bloomberg was on, George W. Bush was on the second week, and President Bush and President Obama was on the third week. So directly speaking to us from their remote locations, as well as former Mayor Mike Bloomberg. So it's giving us an opportunity to get the information from the national level all the way down to the local level, and to hear from mayors around the country, or hear from mayors next door to our town administrators next door to our communities, and recognizing we're all facing this challenge and what are the responses that we can work on together.
You mentioned data, and I wanted to go over maybe the last, it's been a busy week the last few days for press releases. And I'm just telling the listeners here that we'll put a link up on this post to your website, the city website, which also has your recent releases from the city of Lynn. But I want to just go back to the most recent one, Tuesday, just the data from Lynn itself, and maybe put it into some context to us. 670 cases, 38 have recovered. 12 Lynn residents have died of the COVID-19. And any context to put that in for us, Mayor?
It's as we're making these decisions to talk about what people can do to really make a difference, to stay home, go out when it's necessary, go out to the stores by yourself. You don't need to bring your family, wearing facial coverings to ensure that it's another piece in the puzzle of social distancing, so you social distance, but you also prevent the spread if you're non-symptomatic and you don't even know it, which is between 25 and 50% of people that are asymptomatic and don't know that they're carrying the virus. So putting that in context, so when you're making the decisions locally to specifically clarify what essential services are, how do you get a food delivered and go to a restaurant, which is clearly what we've identified, those decisions are based on the data that we've received, the scientific data, how the rise of the cases are going, and then the on the ground. I mean, 2.5-3 weeks ago, we were at 7 cases. We're at 671 as of yesterday. As of Friday, we were growing into the 400s, and so we had been working on some some decisions on a couple of executive orders that I was working on with my whole team based on the data. And as the numbers continue to rise, it was decision time to really put some pieces in place that would really continue to allow the community to understand the seriousness of this, but more importantly, to have them work with us together to try and together limit the spread of this in the city of Lynn. And those numbers went from the low 400s to 671 as yesterday, and very sadly, 12 people have passed away in our community, and it's a deadly and dangerous situation we're in. But I think the important thing to recognize, and you know, being in Lynn all my life, the city of Lynn and the people that live here, when there's a real crisis or real challenges, and this has been the way Lynn is, people step up, come together, and make good things happen. And I know that us working together and taking the precautionary measures and making sure we do all of the recommendations that are out there from the CDC and DPH on down to the local level, get through this, minimize the spread, and get through this together. And it's very challenging and tough times to do this. So that's where, you know, when you see these numbers continue to rise, you know, we need to take the measures to ensure that we're doing the kind of things in our community to address this head on.
You know, I think you're right about the people that do not display symptoms but still obviously could be carrying the disease, and the face mask piece. You know, as uncomfortable as it was for me to kind of see that kind of come into play in the last week or so, clearly the right call to make for folks going into stores and so on to protect others, as you kind of mentioned, for sure. I want to go back to over the weekend, you and the council put out some orders, I think you were just alluding to. One of them is a curfew. Is that kind of because you're thinking that the social distancing piece might not be followed as closely as it could be in Lynn?
I think it's looking at a number of ways to both highlight the seriousness of this and, more importantly, to keep people understanding that during the day and at night and for the most part every day, that the best way to protect both your families, yourself, and those that are providing essential services in the grocery stores, the police, the first responders, the healthcare workers that are on the front lines, is that we need to stay home and go out for essential services. And it's really a difficult thing to ask people to do, and there's so many other impacts of this. Obviously, the economic impact is devastating for so many families in our community. But for us to get to the next step, we really need to address this health crisis head on, and then it'll allow us to hopefully move back in a better direction in a more timely way than it would otherwise. So, yeah, it's a piece of the puzzle. A number of communities had instituted those prior to Lynn, Melrose in Boston and Somerville, or Everett, and I think Chelsea have. So we're again, like I said, we're taking what other communities are doing and trying to build the right policies in place. The same in the second order, which is on essential services, and there's a couple of pieces in that, but one of them is on getting delivery of food. So again, I think people need to understand essential service will not be ending. You will always be able to go to the supermarket. You'll always be able to get food from restaurants if you have to, but there's certain requirements. When you're going to a supermarket, you need to wear a face covering. You need to stay apart from each other. We're limiting, with the governor's order, up to 40, or no more than 40% of capacity of these stores, so that there's an ability to keep spatial social distancing in place. But if you're going to get food at the restaurants, you either get it delivered, you go through a drive-thru, or it's curbside pickup. And for the most part, restaurants have been really complying with that, but it's just an additional piece so that you're not going into a restaurant to pick it up. You're limiting that face-to-face contact that then limits any chance of the virus spreading through showing up in a restaurant when you don't know that you're carrying it. In the same respect, one of the workers there could be asymptomatic as well. So the ability to social distance is important. And I think just on the restaurant side, if you're looking at what the CDC says, they say they really identified that ordering out food because of the cooking and the way it's done does not really reflect the real, that's not where you're going to be picking up the virus. It's in face-to-face contact and those kind. That's where the virus is. So we put in place a number of pieces. That's probably one of the key ones. The face covering for all going out in any contact with people is another, you know, face covering or masks. And I think they're all pieces of a puzzle that other communities are doing, and we incorporated several efforts of other communities into that second order as well that were, I think, reasonable, scientifically and health-related. They made sense, and their recommendations that are coming from the health professionals. And so we wanted to make sure that those orders reflected that and allowed our community to understand that those are the pieces that will allow us to continue to address this. And like we've all heard about this, flatten the curve out and hopefully get it to a point where the healthcare providers are not going to be overwhelmed and people can't get the care they need.
I want to just follow up on maybe one or two other things. Last things would be your order, the website, Union. Wait a minute here. I just lost.
Yes.
Also includes the Union Hospital site. Can you share a little more on that with me?
Yes. Obviously, as our regional and the local health providers are trying to deal with this as it continues to grow, the kind of cases we're seeing, limits around the communities, to allow that there was enough capacity to handle respiratory challenges or respiratory health issues. And it doesn't have, you know, it's a number. It could be asthma, it could be COPD, a number of things that are respiratory related, that they shut down the urgent care center at the Union Hospital, which during this period of time has been limited to 4 or 5 or 6 patients a day. So they weren't getting the kind of urgent care that they typically would get because of the dynamic of what's going on. So they determined that the need for a respiratory care clinic was something they needed to find space for. They opened it up at the Union Hospital site, and again, that is for a range of respiratory care, including if you have COVID-19 symptoms and it's respiratory, without having to get to an emergency room, you can then go to that clinic, and it's set up to handle those that are COVID-19, those that aren't, so that they keep them separated and they've got it. But it allowed North Shore Medical Center to provide that kind of service in a way that would allow people to get to a place they need on those kind of issues and not be worried about inundating the emergency room. So that was implemented this week.
Oh, okay. That's good information. I didn't realize that. Okay, perfect. All right. Well, Mayor, anything else that you want to share with us that I didn't ask you about that you think is important at this time?
I think you talked about it a couple times, Bill. There's so much information on our website. We have numerous links. We continue to update that website with all kinds of information from the CDC, DPH, all of the facts you need to clearly understand what's going on are on our website with daily updates. It is also in Spanish and in English. Most of that information is in those two languages with links to, if you need to get that information, I would urge people to look at the website, check it out every day. We're updating it constantly. We get information from, as I said earlier, the Bloomberg Foundation. We update the website with that kind of information. I'm a member of the Democratic U.S. Conference of Mayors, Democratic Mayors Association, so they're always updating with all kinds of information that then we update onto our website. So we are gathering the information and putting in that one location, and people can really get a lot of the facts and information they need to understand what's happening. So I think that's the message. And the other piece is, you know, I know that we're apart. We have to stay apart to be safe. But by staying apart, and I know other people who said this, we really are coming together to make a difference together. So, and to really help our first providers, I think I said this earlier, and our healthcare work is stay at home, follow the guidelines, let's bring that curve down, and that is helping. That's the best thing we can do for those that are on the front lines is to follow the recommendations. Let's do it together as a community. We'll be successful if we come together as a community like we always have and do the things that will make a difference.
All right, Mayor, thanks so much. I know this is very difficult times for everybody in the city government, state government, and also the federal government, obviously. But a lot of good stuff happening, as you just kind of mentioned. So, Mayor, thanks so much for your time. And if you can hang on the line for a second, that'd be great. That's Mayor Thomas McGee, City of Lynn, with us here on MSO News Sports.